Walking into a hospital, my first thought has never been, hey, I wonder if they got this sterile gauze using the institutionally collaborative Mayo model within their group purchasing organization. But then, I am neither of these men.
It's Rob Hanfield, and I'm the professor of supply chain management in the Poole College of Management at North Carolina State University.
And I am Professor Eugene Schneller in the Department of Supply Chain Management at Arizona State University.
Think of these two as a CSI team for healthcare supply chains.
Part of the problem is that most hospitals are really, really bad at managing supply chains. They're not very good at it.
And then COVID hit.
Kind of a perfect storm, isn't it?
Think of it this way, that it's a set of dominoes, okay?
Domino number one?
The center of the epidemic was in Wuhan, China. And Wuhan, coincidentally, is the epicenter of the PPE manufacturing base for the world.
So hospitals would have to rely on what they had in their stockroom. But there was a catch.
The hospital wanted low unit of measure. Didn't want to have lots of stuff on the shelves.
That was domino number two. Just-in-time inventory management.
And this is maybe another piece of your story of why they were caught the way they were. I mean, the second largest cost to a hospital other than labor is supplies.
So naturally.
Price became a huge issue.
Everybody was looking to buy things cheap.
So we went offshore. You could get masks and gowns and all those things sewn cheaper in China and Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand.
And when you're price buying, you know, you don't care where you buy it. You're not really developing reliable channels or trusted relationships. You're buying it wherever you can buy it cheap.
And there are a lot of things to buy. Take, a vaccine. You're going to need the pharmaceutical compounds, the syringe. You also need a push-pull mechanism to make it work. You need the needle. You need disinfectant. You need a cotton ball. And then there's this.
It's not like, a manufacturer sells directly to a hospital. There's a bunch of people in the middle that can hoard things and make decisions as to who they get it.
Because every one of those middle folks, group purchasing organizations, suppliers, brokers, they're all there to buy and to sell and to make money. And when you have that many hands in a cookie jar, you really should have a mom in the room. Enter the federal government.
It's funny, I wrote a paper in 2010 about federal supply chain preparedness. This was around the time of the H1N1 with all of these guidelines. I don't think anybody read it.
We had nothing. We had empty cupboards. We had empty shelves. We had nothing because it wasn't put there by the last administration.
So the stockpile, just so you have a background, was to address any CBRN threat, so chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear threat. That's what it's funded to do. Pandemics, it was not.
Suzanne Selman is a public affairs specialist at the Department of Health and Human Services, and if there's one thing she would like us to know, it's this. The national stockpile was never supposed to be part of the medical supply chain.
I mean, I was always the guy at a cocktail party, and people would say, what do you do? I say, healthcare supply chain, and their eyes would sort of roll over. That's changed a bit. If people didn't hear the word healthcare supply chain before this pandemic, they sure have now.
For COVID Between the Coasts, I'm Sarah Lemanchek.